here to go there. And that's been, this was my eighth year of being able to go and be a part of it. And every year has been a blessing. In general, it's just good to be there at a place where there are good people doing good things for a good cause. But it seems like almost every year there's something that I can see God in the midst. In some way, I think God uses me specifically if I'm willing. This year, as I got there, Tim mentioned to me about a gentleman who just wanted me to know some information about it. And I ended up going up to having a conversation with a guy named Jim. It just so happened that Kevin was walking up about the same time, and it was just the three of us. And all of the sea of people, the three of us happened to meet at this time. And Jim, that night before, about between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, had gotten a text saying that his grandson had taken his life. And so we had an opportunity to listen to him, to share tears with him, and to pray with him. That's not an easy thing. You don't know what to say. Kevin and I just tried to listen to what God said and tried to be there as a support for this gentleman. This morning when I went back to pray again, as I was walking up, he sought me out and came to me just to continue that conversation. I share that. It's not about me. It's not about Kevin. It's not even about us, although you are a part of it as being a part of that ministry. I want us to realize and hear more today and understand that when we're willing to give ourselves to be used, God uses us in ways that we cannot imagine. And God desires to do that with every one of us. And there are times that we come together as a church, and God uses us as a church in a way that we can't imagine. We all are different parts of the body of Christ that need to be willing to be who Christ leads us to be in any given moment. So I thank you for what you do in being a part, and I invite you to pray for Jim Wheeler and his grandson and all of their his family of his grandson and all of their family as they struggle with this time. And I told him I would, and I know he will appreciate it. Lord, as we come to this time of looking into your word and understanding what you would have us to know, we come before you with prayers. And Lord, there are a lot of prayers of people that are on our hearts this morning, people that are in our families. And Lord, I mentioned Jim in particular and his family. I pray that you'll be with all of them. And Lord, we don't know where they are in terms of their relationship with you and their understanding of who you are, but we pray that somehow or another they will come to know your peace and know that it comes from you in the midst of this thing that may be the most horrible thing they've ever experienced in their life. Lord, they need you. And we just ask that that might happen however you see fit. Lord, as we continue to look into your word now, I pray that our hearts will be open then, that as we come and bow before you in worship, it will not only be worship that you receive and that it's pleasing to you, but it will bring about change in us. This prayer I ask in your son's name. Amen. So, Patrick read a fishing story to us this morning. All of us have our own stories. Some of us have fishing stories, but all of us have stories. And they're different. But I think today there's probably some similar components of our stories that we can agree upon. We began the first Sunday of April celebrating Easter. Since then, we've spent each week exploring what Jesus did after the resurrection and before he ascended back to heaven. The first Sunday after Easter, we met him on the road to Emmaus. And the men that were with him recognized who Jesus was by the breaking of bread, which we're going to be doing today. Then the following, we heard that what he had to say in his first appearance to the disciples. And in this time of coming, he had to share with them a sense of peace and purpose. Then a week later, he showed up to the disciples again, giving special attention to Thomas. Thomas, who who even today is considered doubting Thomas, we came to realize that that's really not who God saw Thomas as. But he was a man of faith, more than a man of doubt. And we understood that there are often labels that we accept on ourselves that God doesn't desire. Today, we encounter Jesus as he meets with the disciples a third time, this time on the bank of a seashore where he eats breakfast with them. So I want us to look at some of the details. Let's delve into the story. If you want to, if you have your Bibles open or want to open them back up, this will be John chapter 21, and beginning with verse 1. But as we look at the story, when we first get there, are the disciples excited about what's happening in the story at the very beginning? What's going on there? What's happened over the night? They fish and got nothing. They didn't catch a thing. So, in their fishing, how many of you have ever been fishing and caught nothing? Okay, that's the majority of you. A lot of fishermen in here. Using that word term loosely. But the thing that's probably different about them and us is that for them, they just didn't go to have fun on a fishing trip like we might do. For them, this was their livelihood. And so it was somewhat different. But as they went, I also want us to understand that there had been a lot going on in their life at this point. There was a lot they couldn't make sense of, and they were making a choice not to be idle, not to just sit around. They were going to go about doing something they knew how to do, and they were going to be productive in doing it, or so they thought. But the problem was, they weren't so productive. So then I ask you another question similarly. Have you ever been in this kind of boat with the disciples? Where you're going about doing something, but in the midst of everything you're trying to do, and you think you should be able to, they were professional fishermen after all, you come up short, or even worse than that, completely empty-handed. That's difficult. That's where the disciples were at this point. It's frustrating. It makes you wonder why you're doing what you do, and maybe even cause you to want to give up. You ever been there? Well, as we continue, we see that something happens here. There's a man on the shore, and the disciples don't recognize this man. He starts speaking to him. They don't know who he is. We know, because of reading the scripture, that this is Jesus. But the disciples don't know who he is, and we may wonder why. Because after all, with what we've looked for in the past, they've already met him since he's resurrected. I just wanted to know, so I did a little bit of research, so this is a sidebar if you're interested. There is no explanation in the Bible that lets us know for sure why they didn't recognize Jesus, but here are a few thoughts by theologians. One is that he may have simply been too far away from their boat for them to recognize initially. Others have suggested that God might have caused the disciples to not recognize Jesus so as to draw attention to the fact that they might need greater faith. A third reason is that it's possible Jesus didn't look the same after his crucifixion because of the torture he had been through. Some people consider that he had a beard and the beard may have been ripped off, and just the places that he had been cut and stabbed, and it just could have literally disfigured him that much. Or finally, it could have been that his resurrected body looked that much different than what his physical body does. All of these are opinions that different people have, and we don't know the answer. But in my mind, that's not the most important question. That's not the thing we need to figure out this morning. What I want us to pay more attention to is, how did disciples really come to know and understand who Jesus was? How did they figure that out? Let's go back first to the appearance on the road to Emmaus. The men that were walking there didn't know who Jesus was either. At what point did they recognize Jesus? Does anyone remember? I've given you a hint already. When he broke the bread when he was about to share with them. Now, it makes sense that that will be a time to recognize this is something that had been a part of Jesus' ministry with his disciples. They were familiar enough with who Jesus was and what he had done that that helped things to click and it made sense to them. We're going to be a part of doing that today. And I hope it helps us to understand, even maybe in a different dimension, why communion or the Lord's Supper can and should be a special thing for us. But then let's consider the story for today, the fishing story. At what point do you think they recognized who Jesus was today in the scripture today? Anybody catch that? Do you have a guess? When did they know it was Jesus? When he caught the net full of fish. Exactly, Kenny. The disciples had been fishing all night. They hadn't caught anything. And it was when they realized, and this is miraculous, to go from zero to, if I remember right, scripture, maybe 153. We'll look at that in a minute. But if Patrick's saying yes, he's got my back. And so you knew that that's something powerful. And immediately, I'm guessing that they realized the only person that they know that's capable of that type of thing in their life is Jesus. And at that point, they knew Jesus' power. They knew Jesus' provision in their lives. That was a way of recognizing. So you see, a lot of times, we'll say, you know, it would just help us to figure out what our faith is supposed to be like, what we're supposed to do, if we could just see Jesus, if we could just see him, if we could know 100% sure what we're supposed to do. But we have scripture, we have evidence that even the disciples he was closest to after the resurrection didn't physically recognize him initially. It was through some of the very same things we experience today that they were able to know him. We can know and experience the power of God in our lives if we allow. In the same way the disciples did in the scripture that we look at today. But in order to do that, we have to pay attention to Jesus' instructions, which is the next thing I want to look at. Jesus told the disciples to throw their nets on the right side of the boat. He had asked them first, did you catch anything? And said, nope, hadn't caught a thing. He said, well, throw your nets on the right side of the boat. If you're really thinking about this, and they're not realizing this is Jesus yet, put yourself in their boat, literally. How would you feel about that? If some guy on the shore, you had been fishing all night, and they said, just throw your nets on the right side of the boat. How would that make you feel? That's small. What else? This is your profession. This is what you have done with many years of your life. And by the way, I'm guessing if you've been out there all night, you haven't been fishing just from the left side of the boat the whole night. And my guess is that those nets have probably touched the waters that this man is about to tell you to put them in anyway. So it probably made very little sense to them, maybe even made them think, who does this guy think he is? But what did they do? They put their nets on the right side of the boat. They do it anyway. Do you think there's ever times in our life when if we're listening, if we're paying attention, that God just might ask us to do something that in our minds doesn't make sense? In our minds, it seems like we've been there and we've tried this before. In our minds, it's just not going to make a difference if we do that or if we do that again. Yet when these fishermen did that, it not only changed their day, I believe it changed their life. And so we have to be willing to pay attention to God's instructions in our lives, even when we can't understand or know the reasons for them. And then, when we do that, as the disciples did, through obedience, we're more fully able to recognize who Jesus is. You told me from the scripture that when the time that they realize it is when They caught all these fish. They realized that miracle that had just happened. And so they understood in the midst of that who Jesus was. There are times when God wants to do that in our lives. And it doesn't mean we didn't know who God was before. It didn't mean that we didn't have faith. But when that has happened in your life and you know that God is a part of that, it changes your relationship with God. It becomes something that continually grows. And if we're living and growing the way we should, and you know this already, it's not like you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're baptized, and then it's a done deal until you get to heaven. It doesn't work that way. We continually grow every single day. We talk about giving testimonies. And when I first became a Christian, I was mistaken about what a testimony was. I thought a testimony was simply telling about how I came to know Christ and the day that I got baptized. And maybe a little bit about that. But our testimony is how that happened, maybe the people that were part of that, how we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, knowing that He died, that He rose again, He paid the price for our sins, we committed ourselves to Him, but our testimony continues to grow every single day. So my testimony is different today than it was yesterday, because now it includes Jim Wheeler. Your testimony continues to grow. And we need to be willing and able to share that, because that's how big the power of God is. That's how we grow to understand God more and more, and then we're able to share that with others as well. So obedience is key. So what are the results? We already know, Patrick's told us, went from 0 to 153 fish. That's a big deal. But you know, I don't think that's the biggest part of the story. I believe the disciples went from the beginning of that story of having frustration and hopelessness to experiencing joy, celebration, and faithfulness. And I believe that happens in our lives if we're willing to receive it, because that's what God desires to do. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we're always going to catch all the fish and there's not ever going to be any holes in our nets. It doesn't mean that everything is going to line up the way we think it should, but it does mean that we can know God is with us, we can experience peace in the midst of the storm, and our faith can continue to grow. I want to leave you with a question. How would you like to have breakfast with Jesus every day? That's what the disciples did. You know, that's a cool story. When I read that story, it's one of the ones that I just picture. It's easy for me to picture some guys out on a boat, fishing, being frustrated, catching a big bunch of fish, coming back to shore. It's easy, and I enjoy picturing a fire with Jesus cooking some fish, with them sitting around, with them getting reconnected in a way, understanding, beginning to process what it was that just happened with all those fish. And I enjoy that. But my question is, how would you like to be a part of a picture where Jesus is having breakfast with you? And I mean, think about it for a moment in the very real sense, in the physical sense. Somehow or another, Jesus is able to make connection with you, and He said physically, I'm going to come back, I'm going to sit at the breakfast table, you're going to see me the way you see other people. Would you want to do that? Would you want to have breakfast with Jesus? Before you answer too quickly. Young people, teenagers tend to be very honest. I've shared this with you before. I asked a group of teenagers one time, and I thought it was a rhetorical question. I said, do you want to know the will of God in your life? About half of them said no. I would say, you, Pastor, what kind of answer is this? What kind of pastor am I that they don't want to know the will of God in their life? So I asked the question. I said, why? Because it means we might have to change. So I ask you again, if Jesus Christ got in touch with you directly and said, I want to come and sit at your breakfast table and have breakfast with you tomorrow morning, would you want to do it? Would you do it? Because my guess is you probably don't have the free time right now to make that happen. It may mean having to get up a little bit early. It may mean changing your schedule.
But would you do it?
I tell you, just as he had breakfast with the disciples, he won't be a physical presence, but God desires to do that with you every single morning. You can, and I would go so far as to say, God would beckon you to have breakfast with him. Now, I'm not saying, there's some of you that aren't breakfast people, you aren't morning people, you don't need to plan out some big breakfast. The point is, spending time with God, however God leads that, and it will make a difference in your day. And that picture that we can picture of the disciples on the side of the Sea of Galilee becomes a daily picture that you live into. And that relationship you have with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior becomes more and more and more real. Because he desires to have that type of real presence in your life.
I'm going to ask our deacons, they're going to come forward.